Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, in a Father's Day interview, Trump revealed that his eldest son once asked him in passing if he would declassify information about Roswell. Trump said, quote, "I won't talk to you about what I know about it, but it's very interesting." Way to tease us, Mr. President. Also, in UFO news, a large unidentified object that looks like a balloon with propellers was spotted over Japanese waters last week, yet when the Japan Meteorological Bureau was asked about it, they said it wasn't one of theirs. A spy balloon from a foreign government? A Japanese spy balloon? Does such things even exist? Who knows? But the object was captured on video and seen by hundreds of people. And a powerful dark matter detector built into an Italian mountainside has picked up a strange new signal. It could be radioactive contamination, but if it isn't, it could be a hint at hitherto undiscovered physics. Dark matter and dark energy make up the majority of the mass in the universe, yet scientists have no idea what they actually are or how they behave. If the signal was not the result of tritium contamination or a rare wayward solar particle with unusual magnetic properties, then it could have been our first ever glimpse at real dark matter. Scientists say they'll know more later this year. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Trump and Roswell. You know, it's like, you know, I think a lot of us who have interest in UFOs and stuff like that, you know, how do I broach this topic? Even people who had a lot of faith in Trump, Trump supporters, believed he was going to put this information out if it was there. Trump non-supporters, people who thought he was just, you know, kind of blabbing, also thought he might put it out. You know, it's like, I thought he also might, you know, put it out, you know. So I'm a little disappointed, but that does create one of two options, in my opinion. Either he's just sort of gaslighting and lying. Hard to believe, I know, but, you know, it's possible.
It could be. Right. He's never done it before, but, you know, there's a first time for everything.
Or the more disturbing option might be that it's so serious, even Trump takes it seriously.
I feel like there's a third option, which is that, like, there are people in the government who just are like, we can't allow any of this information anywhere near Donald Trump. Oh, like, generals and stuff.
That would go to the first one, that he's lying, he doesn't know.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it is interesting looking at the history of sort of presidents with their comments, you know, before they get into office about UFOs and after. Like, Jimmy Carter, big believer in UFOs, I want to say that he saw a UFO at some point. He, like, had a UFO sighting, and it had a big effect on him. I can't remember if that's apocryphal or not. That might not be true. Don't take my word for it. But then when he got into office, he didn't release anything, obviously. And I think he was asked about it because he said, you know, he made a few prominent statements beforehand, like, I'm going to release anything I find about aliens or whatever to the public. And then when he was asked about it, he basically said something about a national security interest.
Right.
Which is probably the most concerning answer he could have said.
Like, right, yeah. That fits with the, like, maybe Trump is basically all, oh, gosh, we've been told if we say anything about this, the Vogons are going to start their intergalactic thoroughfare or whatever. You know?
Exactly, you know.
And I'm not sure if the truth coming from Jimmy Carter is necessarily the best place because, I mean, he is a hardcore Christian peanut farmer. Now, don't get me wrong. I totally respect all the Habitats for Humanity. But at the time, he was not exactly the most credible or impactful of presidents, you know.
No, I mean, I think he is probably the smartest president we've had in the last 150 years, just in terms of, like, his personal accomplishments and, like, his... Like, when you look at him, he's a really smart guy. And I think most of our pretty much all of our presidents have been, like, above average, but I think he's been in kind of a different league. And honestly, I think that kind of made him a worse president in some ways. Because, like, the job of the...
He was at a moral caliber that probably made him not a great president.
Right. Well, for one thing, he was just, like, literally decades ahead of his time in terms of, like, environmental policy. Like, he just tried to implement a lot of stuff way before America was ready for it. And I mean, like, I'm not going to be upset at him for that. Like, climate change and stuff is a horrible problem, and we now understand that a lot better than we did in the 70s. But he just... there were a lot of facets to him and to his administration that were calculated to make him very unpopular, and lo and behold, they did. So,
yeah, who knew the climate change would first hit the peanuts? the balloon with propellers. You know, I got to say... that if aliens are coming, if they're riding balloons with propellers, I'm comfortable with this.
I'm comfortable right.
with the balloon propeller threat from the skies.
Yeah, I don't think even hardcore UFO people think that this particular sighting is aliens.
Yeah, you know what I think it is?
It's still interesting.
Oh, it's still.
We don't know what it is.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we used to go up to Patrick's Point, somewhere around Patrick's Point in Trinidad. I can't remember exactly where, Northern California. Mm-hmm. And they had the kinetic sculpture races. Have you ever heard of these?
No.
Basically, people would build bikes that multiple people would ride, and these bikes had to be able to go across land, water, and sand dunes. And they would have this miles-long race of multiple people riding singular sculpture bikes as they were going across these things. And a balloon with propellers, to me, definitely screams kinetic sculpture, artistic, you know, obsession
yeah,
with
possible.
Steampunk, some sort of something like that, you know?
I feel like this was a large object, though. I feel like it would take some actual technology to, you know, create like a weather balloon, basically.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So to the audience at this point, when Kara brings me the news, it's not
yeah,
something that I've
true.
Looked into yet. So maybe I should be looking at this video. I might
no, that,
be
possible,
all, we're all going
to
die. That's huge. <it's> like.
Yeah, it's... I think it's definitely possible, though, that, like, some private citizen just built this thing and sent it out, and we're all just like, what the heck is that? And they're just
right.
sitting at
which
home
is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that I think would be the funniest possibility.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, go big or go home in your balloon. Let's land this spaceship and start talking something a little closer to home, a little more real, a little more... related to today's society. After the break, our guest tonight is the Satanic Church of South Africa. So, any questions about Satanism? Light them up. Here they come. We're going to figure out what Satanism is. You know, is it worship of the devil? Is it Anton LaVey nihilism? I don't know. Let's find
is it sacrificing babies to goats? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to flip around there. Sometimes it's a baby to a goat, and sometimes it's a goat to a baby. I mean, like, pick a side.
Yeah, it's right. sort of, I think they're interchangeable, you know, in occult circles. A goat is basically as good as an infant.
Is that why my daughter's in there eating a tin can? All right, come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Thank you.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest is Audrey Norton from the South African Satanic Church. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Good. You know,
awesome.
Given our different time zones and the fact that, you know, I'm a big fan of scary things in general, and a lot of those things include the term Satan and Satanism, which of course we'll go over what that really means. You know, I've entertained interviewing a Satanist, but I never thought it happened for me at 9 a.m.
Yeah. We were always planning stroke of midnight, you know, dramatic thunderclaps in the background. That was, you know, sort of what we had in mind. But we're just like, cup of coffee, start the day.
Right.
So
there we go. On the list.
Yeah.
So what time is it there for you?
So right now it is 6 p.m. in the evening.
Okay. Well, that's a little better.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I guess we should start off by explaining to the audience and ourselves in general. We're going into this somewhat blind. Of course, we researched you a bit. But, you know, what is the South African Satanic Church?
So the South African Satanic Church is a non-profit organization that we've started largely to combat the misconceptions about Satanism that is out there in South Africa. We follow Satanism and our dogma and doctrine we've adopted is the Satanic Bible written by Anton LaVey. But the main part of the organization is to combat the Satanic panic within South Africa, as well as to educate people about what above board Satanism as a religion is.
Okay, well then, I guess that moves us really quickly right on to the question.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about.
What that. Is Satanism as a religion? You know,
I think a lot of our listeners will not necessarily know. They have very much. Most of our listeners are in the U.S., so they'll have, you know, 1980s Satanic Panic people in robes and goat skulls sacrificing children or whatever. So what is Satanism really?
Yeah, so Satanism in its essence is the honoring and belief within yourself. So we do not worship any external deity, but we view the God force within ourselves as the ultimate. And if anything, I always say we worship ourselves if there's something for us to worship. Why we view it as a religion, though, is because there are certain practices and rituals and ceremonies that we practice, as well as our devotion to the understanding of the self falls into a form of religious practice for us. And so really Satanism is saying me, myself, I am the God force within myself, and it is my goal to be the best version of myself, in a nutshell, yeah.
So is this I mean, you say religious, but is it?
So, yeah, why we view it as a religion is also if you look at the term religion, it is the devotion to a subject. So there's deep devotion, following something with a deep devotion. And we see the study of self, the expression of self, something that we follow with deep devotion, and that there's continuous practices like ceremonies and rituals for the empowerment of self and to learn more of the self. And so that's how we follow it as a religion in that sense.
I see. So tell us a little bit about Anton LaVey, you know, and why the interest in this via Anton LaVey. I mean, he's the basically, I don't know what we would call him in this situation, you know, the L. Ron Hubbard of this situation or the architect of the book.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard might be an unflattering comparison.
Yeah, but I can't think of somebody else who wrote a book in this regard that people would take on as a belief system. I know it's probably not the best candidate.
No, I mean, Anton LaVey, I think to most Satanists who follow Satanism through reading the Satanic Bible in that sense, would be the founding father of Satanism in that way. I mean, the Church of Satan was started in 1966, and the Bible, I think, was written in 1969. And it really created, it really put Satanism into that spectrum where there is sort of the nine satanic statements to follow, which is the morals and ethics term for Satanists, but also explain Satanism in a term where people could say, oh yes, I resonate with this way of being. This makes sense to me. I can follow this. My personal experience with it was very much reading it and realizing, but this is what I've based my life on my whole life. And now I know why I didn't fit in with any other form of religion and why this is working for me. And so how we view the Satanic Bible is really that's the easy way for you to see if you are a Satanist or not a Satanist. I was saying earlier that you are born a Satanist. And one of the big misconceptions is that we are trying to convert people into becoming a Satanist. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's even possible because you are either going to resonate with Satanism or you're not. And for me, that is something that you've probably known for most of your life that you're either not fitting in. And then when you do read the Satanic Bible, you're like, oh, this makes sense to me. So Anton LaVey, to me, and I think most people in our organization, is that founding father of Satanism, the one that paved the path for, let's say, the black sheep to realize we also have somewhere to fit in.
I see. So, you know, when he wrote this, you know, when we think of a satanic Bible, you know, we think of the Necronomicon, or we think of the Book of the Dead, or the antithesis of the Bible, you know, and I think we all have assumptions about what's contained in this book, you know, but what is contained in this book? So if it's not necessarily a spiritual text, I mean, is it a self-help book?
So many people, even in our organization, call Satanism the sort of the ultimate self-help because, and a lot of them do refer to it as a self-help book because it is that, well, okay, so it starts off with the nine satanic statements in sense of like what Satanism is. Then it explains to you the sense of like where your carnal desires is not something you need to feel guilty about in that way. And there's a lot of information about that. Then there's also parts about rituals in a sense of, and these rituals are for the expression of self. And so how to say express certain emotions. So if you've got anger, there's a ritual to express anger. If there is something you want to appreciate, there's a ritual for that. So it's all different parts within yourself. So even if you look at Satanism, we also view Satan as an archetype within the human consciousness that needs to be expressed in that way. And that's where it turns into almost like that self-help book for saying to you, hey, it's okay for you to be human and have human desires, and you don't need to feel guilty about that. Where I was explaining earlier, a lot of the other religions would say there's certain human desires that viewed as have being sinful. And we're saying, no, it's not. It's part of the human experience.
Yeah, so
I got the impression. I got the impression a little bit earlier that maybe a big part of Satanism, and correct me if I'm wrong, is like sort of deprogramming some of the negative beliefs people might have from other religions. Not naming any names, but you know.
No, but that's very correct as well. It is very much a sort of deprogramming is the correct word from other religions. And so a lot of people would say, were you, say, for instance, in another religion and then you rebelled and now you're a Satanist? And that was not at all my experience, and it's also not the experience of the people in our organization. If you are in a certain religion and you say, I want to now convert, like again, you can't convert to Satanism, but now I'm following this, we're going to say, do you perhaps have religious wounds from your other religion? And because this is not necessarily rebelling against the religion. It is opposing certain things it's saying in the sense of which restricts your humanness and your expression of self. But it is not, say, against another religion or a way to rebel against another religion. Yeah.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Attention all hunting enthusiasts, don't miss the 29th annual banquet for the Redding chapter of the Safari Club International taking place at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Resort Center on April 29th. This year's event promises to be bigger and better than ever, featuring an exciting auction with amazing prizes such as hunting trips, guns, equipment, and artwork. And that's not all. There'll be games and a drawing for even more chances to win. For more information and to get your tickets, go to sciredding.org. We'll see you there.
Listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Hate to see you hungry. Yeah, this crosses my mind a lot because I'm a self-proclaimed horror movie historian, and, you know,
yeah, I've seen a lot of horror movies.
I love,
way too many.
I love, you know, people like talk about how like The Exorcist is the scariest movie ever. And I'm just all, I think
yeah.
you have to believe yeah. God and the devil in order to find it.
Yes.
It's more scary than I find.
I think it's
any ghost story or anything like that.
Right.
You know, to me, it's as much fantasy as anything else, but, you know, even these other people who are not particularly all that religious, they still seem to have it stuck in their head that devil possession is a possibility on the horizon. So there probably are those religious wounds, even in people who are not prescribed to the religion, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I didn't really grow up in a very religious home. There was sort of going to church and the sort of normal way of growing up, I would think, sort of like, you know, you get sent to church because that's what everyone's doing. And even when I came across the Satanic Bible, I still found some form of fear within myself to read the Satanic Bible initially. Right. There was still some form of programming going on in the back of my head going like, no, you need to be scared of this. And I mean, so I don't, people who grew up in very religious homes, I would say, need to take some time to just make sure that they're not jumping into this for the wrong reasons. They need to go heal their religious wounds first.
So, is in the Satanic Bible, are there antithesis parts to the Bible? Like, is there 10 Commandments?
There's the 9 Satanic Statements, which is sort of like the morals and ethics of full Satanism.
So there are rules.
Well, yeah.
Are there rules to be broken? Like, hey, you know, kill your neighbor. Does it say to kill your neighbor?
That would be a rule that you're breaking, yes. I would say the main rules, if you want to call it that, is don't break any laws, so no criminal behavior. Don't do anything that is self-destructive. So a lot of people also say to us, oh, but you're Satanist, you can just do what you want to do. And we're like, no, because if it turns into behavior of self-destructiveness, then it's not going to work. So like one of the things would be indulgence is one of the things that Satanists really, we enjoy food, we enjoy drink, we like to indulge, but not to the point of compulsion. So it says indulgence, but not compulsion. So if you're going to, say, drink alcohol, we're not saying drink until your life is falling apart, because that would be compulsion again. So again, if we're saying the rules, compulsion would be one that you really shouldn't break. Any form of criminal behavior. And then again, people always say, do you guys use drugs? Or you just aren't a bunch of drug addicts? Or you can take all the drugs you want if you're a Satanist. Again, not, that would be self-destructive behavior. It's, drugs is obviously self-destructive in certain ways. And then, yeah, no animal sacrifice, no human sacrifice, no drinking of the blood, and don't compromise. Oh, the other one is, one of the big statements is also responsibility to the responsible. Meaning, even though, yes, it's a very free type of way of living, and there's no guilt in that sense, but you are still responsible for your actions, and you are responsible for the consequences of those actions, be that positive and consequences that you want to have, or negative, because you messed up.
Right. You know, as a fan of horror, like I was saying, and everything kitschy, you know, Anton LaVey is something that I've come across. In fact, somewhere in my collection back here, I have a record of him playing yes. the organ. He has an organ record.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So he was an interesting character. Now, wow. he displayed himself or portrayed himself as being
a showman.
Somewhat debaucherous. He seemed to sort of play this up a bit in his portrayal of himself, you know, often being, you know, photographed in his black robe with his, you know, beads and maybe two topless women or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. are you guys debaucherous? I mean, that's going to be a question that initially passes people's minds.
Yeah. So we get a lot of interesting questions like that. Again, saying like, are you having sex orgies? Are there naked women lying on the altar like Anton LaVey did? I don't know.
That's pretty much where I'm going with this.
Photo of that. Yeah. So no,
say yes.
We don't host those types of situations. I mean, if there are Satans out there that wishes to do that, by all means do that. But as an organization, you're not going to come to one of our socials or rituals or ceremonies and see a naked woman on the altar. We're not, that's just not what we stand for. But he was definitely, in my perspective, also the ultimate showman. He played Satanism up in the 60s. And also, remember, 60s, 70s, very different time back then. People were very much also rebelling back then. But he was definitely, to me, that ultimate showman that could really, like, put something out there and make a whole show or production of it. And even if you look at his earlier years, I mean, he very much, in his early years, he was in a circus, and then he was playing the organ at Saturday night parties type of situation. And so he really turned Satanism in that time into a big production. And I think it was also to create awareness in some sense. That he chose to do it in that way. But where we are now in 2020, no, we're not necessarily hosting sex orgies and putting women on altars.
I see. So you guys had the video of why not just call yourself atheists, and
yeah,
you know, a lot of people, that's a good question. So why not just call yourself an atheist? I mean,
atheism
means that you don't believe in a god. In the sort of biblical religious sense. So why not?
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, I actually made that video after a lot of people just saying, just call yourself an atheist, call it a day and get on with your life. It's like, why are you doing this? So, one of the main reasons and the differences between atheism and Satanism goes hand in hand with practicing the occult. And we practice the occult for the empowerment of self in the sense of learning more about the self in that way. So a cult, again, is anything that is unseen making it seen. So that would be meditation, tarot, we have seances, certain aspects to our rituals and ceremonies have occult links in that way. And we take that belief of self really quite far to deep devotion. And for me, that is that big difference between atheists and Satanists, where atheists are going to say, this is my life on earth, and when where the Satanist says, I do know there's more to life. Not all Satanists will say, oh, I understand the spirit world, or I connect with the spirit world in that sense, but there's definitely a reach for that deeper connection to self through occult practices, which again is some form of connection to spirit world, especially because seances also make a big part of Satanism.
But isn't a belief in tarot and aura and seances, isn't that somewhat a belief in a higher power?
Interesting. Yes. So a lot of people actually ask that. So that's not really the belief in something that is higher than you. It is something that is on the same level of you, just something that you cannot see with your physical eyes. If you understand that sort of hierarchy, how people see it. So I'm a psychic, and I'm a medium, and I grew up that way. I've never not seen it. And so for me, it's like the spirit people or spirit world is really the same as us. It's just you cannot see it. So it's not higher than myself, and it's not really outside myself as well. It is still an experience inside myself.
So with this and a belief in a spiritual world, is there some level of pantheon to the religion? Like, is there spirits that are prayed to specifically or specifically communicated?
No. No, so there is none of that sort of worship of anything outside. So there's no real spirits that have been called in or spirits that have been called up, or that people have also said you're invoking demons. Like, none of that. I don't even believe in demons, to be honest, and I can see some of the spirit world. But there's none of that sort of, there's no putting offerings down for them or trying to invoke them or to call them in or in that way. Even just when you're having a seance, it's really just about connecting what is already there.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Okay, well then here's the real challenging question, I think. And that is that, you know, Christians call themselves Christian because they believe in Christ. You obviously don't believe in Satan.
Mm-mm, no.
So why call yourself a Satanist?
Yes, we had a rehearsal with this one.
Get ready to answer that again.
No, yeah, I answer this on a daily basis that I answer this question. So, right. So if you look at the term Satan, and the direct translation from Hebrew, so Satan would be the Hebrew word, and you do the direct translation from it, it means the opposer. And so Satanism is the opposer of any form of religious tyranny. So anywhere where a religion will tell you, you are bad for having certain carnal desires, or you are sinning because you wish to be a certain way of person. Satanism is saying, no, we are opposing any restrictions put on the self in that way. And you are free to be yourself and be the whole version of yourself. And that is where you get the term Satanism, opposer to religious tyranny.
Right, but you obviously, and, you know, I mean, I'm being challenging for the sake of an interview.
No.
I don't have any biases one way or the other, but, you know, you're obviously, or what would seem obviously, you know, challenging some of these Christian belief symbols. I'm, you know, you have, you know, a pentangle, which can be argued is, you know, occult or witchcraft, but you know, and maybe older than Christianity, but around your neck, you have the goat's head, you know, which...
No, that's actually the sigil for Lucifer.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, cool.
It is cool,
behind
you know.
The goat's head.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not coming down on any of this, but it does seem in direct opposition to Christianity.
Well, the direct opposition to Christianity is actually a lot of things. In this way, I don't see Satanism really being the direct opposition to Christianity. It is definitely challenging a lot of the views to Christianity. But again, then you have to say, are we opposed to Christianity? Because if you want to be the opposite, you're obviously having... there's a lot of things that you can, that would be obviously the opposite of Christianity. But if you're the opposite of Christianity, that would say that you probably have a problem with the Christianity or any other religion. And Satanists, we're not saying we have a cut, that is okay, and we see that people need it and people have to experience that. We're just saying we choose not to. We choose to experience ourselves in a more free way, in a way that is more responsible, to be honest, and a way that suits us, where we can empower and experience the self more.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Audrey Norton from the South African Satanic Church. You know, as I was telling you off and on, and I tell everybody, so it's not just because you're Satanist, I'm a fan of horror films, and I have had the problem of I enjoy the fantasy of horror, and I enjoy getting caught up in the fantastic of it. But I find it difficult to find other horror fans to be friends with, because when I go to hang out with them, they're taking it a little too seriously. And I wonder, do you guys have a lot of run-ins with people who are taking the Satan aspect of this stuff too far for your group? People who are coming to you looking for actual Satan, as opposed to looking for what your group believes in?
Unfortunately, yes. On a daily basis, we get inundated with emails and WhatsApp messages and Facebook messages with people looking to worship Satan, the devil. They actually want to worship the Satan and the devil, and they think it's going to give them powers and it's going to make them rich and famous, and we get all kinds of claims like that all the time. And it is, we can't let those people into our organization in that sense, because that would be devil worship, which for me is actually Christianity in reverse. Because it's literally saying, I believe there's a devil and I want to worship him, or he needs worshiping in that sense. So we get it a lot, especially in South Africa and Africa as a continent. Witchcraft is part of the culture here. And there's a lot of thing with evil spirits and demons and the devil, and that you're going to get rich and make money off of that. It's a very cultural thing here. So we get a lot of that, which is partly why we also started this, to teach people there's a difference here between devil worshipping, which is Christianity in reverse, and Satanism as a religious with satanic archetype that's being revered within the human consciousness.
And on the other side, you mentioned there was sort of a satanic panic situation in Africa right now, which is interesting hearing that, you know, in the U.S., because, like, I guess we had kind of a satanic panic in the 80s before I was born, but, like, not really.
Yeah.
It's not a thing anymore, really, except outside of super religious communities. But is that, like, a problem that you experience in South Africa, or...?
Yeah, so the satanic panic kind of went from America and it infiltrated South Africa in the 80s and the early 90s in that way. And then it kind of sort of faded out a little bit. And then a lot of, because witchcraft is very much part of the culture in our country as well, there's a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings here. And there's been there's been some murders in South Africa that has been claimed to be satanic or from a cult base. And that's sort of where the satanic panic started to get hyped up again in that sense. And it's very unfortunate, because obviously murder is nothing, got nothing to do with Satanism in that sense. There's no such thing as a satanic murder or an occult murder, really, or even a satanic abuse. There's no real abuse. No, there's no abuse in Satanism. But there's always an underlying sense of satanic panic in South Africa.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. This is a topic that we've been interested in a long time, and I knew that when I asked Andrea, I'm just all, okay, well, I want to interview a Satanist. I knew that there was two different kinds I might get. And the other kind, I'm not entirely sure actually exist. There's people with mental illness, you know, but are there actual devil worshipers worshiping the devil who don't have a mental illness? I'm thinking maybe there's not, I'm thinking that, You know,
it's not really a thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you believe in God, why would you damn yourself eternally for a couple of bucks? You know, it's weird.
Yeah, do claim to be devil worshippers are all ones that have some form of mental illness, or they're under drug psychosis. One of the two.
Right. That seems to be the case.
Yeah.
All right, well, you've been listening to Audrey Norton here on Radio Wasteland. We've been talking about the South African Satanic Church. Can you give us that website one last time before we let you go?
Cool, yeah. The website is satanicsa.org, O-R-G.
All right, so that's Satanic S-A, S-A as in South Africa.
Yeah.
All right, well, Audrey, thank you very much for being on the show, and thank you for, you know, fielding our questions, you know, we went into this not wanting to be insulting to a religion or a belief, but we also, you know, like a lot of people, have gone into it with very little knowledge of what we were actually talking about. So we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. And even then, you asked really good questions. So fantastic.
All right.
Yeah. You did well.
Thank you. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the building? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The Potter's Cave is said to be among the finest in the United States. The first white man to enter the cave was J.A. Richardson in 1878. When deciding on a name for the cave, J.B. Potter was chosen, the man who became the first owner of the property in 1855. It's a limestone cave located by Shasta Caverns. Archaeologists believe to be the possible locations of fossils of early man and extinct animals. Many thousands of specimens are found there, including 52 species, of which 21 are now extinct. The species included the short-faced bear, the shrub ox, the Shasta grouse, sloth, a horse, mammoth, bison, and a cameloid. The age of the Potter Creek Cave is supposedly not far from that of the earliest human deposits containing human remains found in Europe. It has, however, been determined that the bone implement-like pieces found in the original 1903 excavation are at least 8,000 years old, contributed by Dottie Smith. A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The first reference to
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.